Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And welcome to the DCAU podcast. This week we're covering Batman and Mr. Freeze, Sub-Zero.
It's very cool.
Indeed. So, Batman and Mr. Freeze, Sub-Zero, is a 1998 direct-to-video sequel to both Batman the Animated Series and Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
So is this the first standalone film?
Well...
Oh no, because Mask of the Phantasm was standalone, yeah.
Much like Mask of the Phantasm, it's kind of... It's
related to it.
Within the same world.
Right.
The same Batman. So it's the same Batman we've had all this way through so far. We have a few more returning characters. So we have... As well as Albert Pennyworth returning, James Gordon returning. Yes, we have even Harvey Bullock returning.
Ooh.
We have a few more characters coming from the animated series.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Lauren Lester returning as Dick Grayson slash Robin.
Wait, there's Dick Grayson? Hooray.
Yay.
Hooray, I'm finally excited. Dick Grayson. And Batgirl.
Yes, Barbara Gordon slash Batgirl, Mary Kay Bergman, Renee Montoya showing up.
Yay, I love her.
Though I believe she's just a straight detective in this.
Okay, that's fair, that makes sense. Yeah, her...
The only version of the question we get in this universe is the male version.
Vic Sage, is it Vic Sage? Vic Sage.
Yes, it is, yes.
I know this because he's about to get a comic, so...
All I know about is in this version he gets voiced by Jeffrey Combs.
Ooh, very nice.
Which, I mean, Jeffrey Combs, the other main character he voices in that universe is... So is it Jeffrey Combs or is it Maurice LaMarche?
I don't know.
I'm going to look this up now. Question. Because I know Jeffrey Combs shows up as... Scarecrow as well.
Oh, right.
Like Scarecrow in the new Batman Adventures.
Right.
Which is basically where he... The closest thing I can describe it, that's the closest he gets to looking like Arkham Knight Scarecrow.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's Jeffrey Combs. So Jeffrey Combs shows up in Justice League in Unlimited. Also returning is... Dr. Victor Freeze, a.k.a. Mr. Freeze, and it's Michael Ansara who voices him in this particular version, the same actor who voices him in the animated series.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
Now, I know that Mr. Freeze was very much one of the characters that was kind of resurrected a bit by Batman the Animated Series.
Mm-hmm.
And that before this point, Mr. Freeze was kind of a bit of a joke. And it was the I can't remember the name of the episode off the top of my head, but basically his debut story on Batman the Animated Series, I think, he actually got nominated for awards.
Oh, nice.
It properly gets is massively well regarded. So Mr. Freeze has appeared in quite a few different Batman media,
mm-hmm.
including, as well as being voiced by Michael Ansara, Clancy Brown voices him in The Batman.
Oh, cool.
And I knew that, Maurice LaMarche was coming to my head. Maurice LaMarche voices him in Batman Arkham series. So he voices him in Arkham City, Arkham Origins DLC and Arkham Knight DLC as well.
Right. So all the computer gamey bits.
And we have... So that's pretty much all the information we can really have without going into the actual plot, which we're not going to discuss here. Other than the fact that when this was originally to be set up,
mm-hmm.
what was actually meant to happen was that there was going to be a slight tie-in with this Batman and Robin, which obviously also featured Mr. Freeze. But apparently it was pushed back a year.
Oh, right.
Because they felt that maybe being associated with Batman and Robin was not going to be a positive thing.
Right, that's true. Yeah, I can see that.
It was also meant to be cross-promoted with Planet Hollywood and Six Flags Theme Park.
Oh, wow.
And then that fell through again because of the
I've
Batman
been to
Robin.
Six Flags. I've been to one of the Six Flags.
I never have.
So, it's nice. But anyway, yeah, so that didn't work out.
We'll stop from there, and when we come back, we'll have a couple of weeks all passed, and we'll have watched this film. So
yes,
we'll find out what we think.
I look forward to finding out about him.
Hi guys, we hope you're enjoying the show you're listening to now. We have a show that we think you might like. I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And we present a show called Rise of the Robots,
where we cover such robot combat shows as
Robot Wars,
BattleBots,
King of Bots,
and BuggleBots,
where we recap these shows and review them and document the rise of the robots.
You can find us on your podcast app of choice or at audioboom.com. Just search for Rise of the Robots.
And we're back. So, Batman and Mr. Freeze Sub-Zero.
Yes.
That was interesting.
Yes. It was the first one I was a little bit underwhelmed by.
Yes, I think it's when you're kind of going from... I think it's quite clear this is the first kind of direct-to-VHS
yes.
product.
Yes. But I mean, like, look, it's not... I've read comics that are like this, and there's nothing, like... I didn't hate it. There's yeah. nothing, like, it's just very, like, okay. You know, like, if I'd watched it as an episode of on TV, or if I'd watched it off Netflix, I guess, these days, or like you said, straight... I'm glad I didn't, like, go out and spend a lot of money on it, like, when it first came out. Like...
I mean, it basically... It does feel a bit like... They've just taken an episode or a two-episode arc.
It
and
does.
Stretched it a bit.
Yeah, it feels exactly like that. And, you know, it's all right. I mean, I don't really like Mr. Freeze that much, I guess, which doesn't help. I don't dislike him. I just don't care. Like, he's a villain that doesn't excite me in any way. And I know he has crazy as in they are crazy for him, not they are crazy.
I think my kind of position on it is, as I mentioned before, Batman and Robin actually hit me at the absolute perfect time in that I was 7 when it came out.
Yeah.
So Arnold Schwarzenegger doing ice puns worked.
Oh, you know, I have fondness for that film, but I just don't think I ever, like, I think because it was Arnie, I just didn't emotionally engage with the character. Like, I found him amusing and I liked seeing him, but I didn't really care about, like, why he was a villain. He was just kind of, okay, you're a bad guy, let's get on with it. You know, these are your powers, let's get on with it. I think I was more distracted by Poison Ivy, but obviously Robin was, like, my key focus of that film.
When you actually get to, I mean, with Mr. Freeze, I've got to say that the thing that's more kind of sold me on Mr. Freeze was going back to the episode of Mr. Freeze in the actual animated series, that kind of, as with a lot of people, like that tied a lot of people. And the other thing for me is the Arkham franchise, the video games.
Right.
In terms of what they actually end up doing, his character arc in Arkham City, and then you get his DLC in both Origins and in Knight. Basically, you get the kind of the start of that story, and you get the, well, not the end of Mr. Freeze's story, but the end of the, spoiler alert for Arkham Knight, you do get the end towards the Nora story
right.
for Mr. Freeze. And it is, first of all, it's the best boss battle in the entire Arkham series.
Right.
as Mr. Freeze, because it's basically it's every technique you use, you can only use once.
Oh, wow. Okay, so like, yeah, that is quite interesting.
So if you use an electric batarang, that works once. The second time you do it, it doesn't work on him.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty interesting. I mean, I know one of the things people like about him is the deep love for his wife.
Yes.
Like giving you a bit of a sort, you know, because you don't often get things like that as well defined for villains. Like, or when you get it, you sometimes they're like sort of Joker, like kind of it's a little bit creepy kind of love. Whereas you don't get that with him. Like, you get that he actually genuinely loves her, and it's a little bit weird anyway. But I get that. I've not read or seen a lot of him, so for me, he's just there.
Yeah. So anyway, to get to the actual film, so we start off with Mr. Freeze in the Arctic.
With his polar bears.
Yeah, living with polar bears, and he has an Inuit adopted son.
Yes. I liked all of that, you know.
His wife's still there in a cryo chamber, so she's still frozen solid.
Yep.
And Mr. Freeze is going around swimming in his pants.
Yeah, I thought that was fun. A fun little, yeah, that was my first thing. Oh, he's swimming in his pants. Okay. Clearly the cold doesn't bother him.
And it's as a submarine crew are arriving. And they're like, oh, it's minus 30 out there.
Which is cold.
Which is phenomenally cold. The submarine decides of all the places to surface, the cave where Mr. Freeze is the perfect place. Obviously, they don't know that Mr. Freeze is there.
Yeah, I know.
But what ends up happening is basically, as they surface, it destroys the inside of the cave. Nora's cryo tube goes flying and bursts.
Yep. That's the catalyst for everything.
And it's basically the scientists go off, and when they come back, all the crew's frozen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not all the crew's, Mr. Freeze rightfully reminds us, and then the therapists.
Yeah.
Cut to Gotham in the height of summer.
Yes.
And generic jewellery store robbery turns into generic Batman attack.
Yes, very generic. Like, so generic, I think I like actually like tuned out a little bit and just went, and then kind of like a few seconds later went, what, why are we in Gotham now? Like, what's going on? Yeah.
I mean, only thing that is interesting, basically Batman uses his cape to cover the car, and the goons are just like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Who do you know that has a cape?
They're great goons.
Yeah, they're great goons. And it's Batman and Robin catch them, and then they get picked up by...
Can I just say, though, like, I didn't... This becomes obvious very much later. But when Robin first appeared, I genuinely had to sit and try and work out which Robin he was. Because he's so slender. And this is going to come up very soon again. How little he looked. In that first fight as Robin, I was like going, is that Tim? And I was like, it doesn't look like Tim's outfit, but like,
Well, it's weird, because I think by this point in the cult, in the actual kind of main series, It was Tim by this point, because
yeah, it would have been.
Todd does not show up in the Timverse canon.
Yeah.
So it goes from Dick Grayson to Tim Drake.
Well, it's a shame. I like Jason. You'll learn this. I like Jason a lot.
To be fair, his arc isn't very...
Well, to be fair, DC's embarrassed about it, and they should be. But that's... And Tim's great, so that's fine. But, yeah, I can understand why they didn't want to deal with Jason in the cartoon.
Yes. I mean, we'll get to Jason Todd soon enough.
We will. I look...
So Batman and Robin get picked up by Alfred, who has a very different suit for both of them to get into.
Yep.
As they're going to a fundraiser.
Yeah, and like all of a sudden, Dick swells and becomes almost the size of Batman.
Yes.
Which was I? It was such a mental like, what? Why is Bat? Why is Bruce got a twin? Oh, this must be Dick. How has he just doubled in size? And it, I just couldn't get it out of my head for a lot of that scene. I was just like, I don't understand what they're doing. So yeah, I have an issue.
Is that with, Robin with suit? That. It's very slimming.
Right. I was gonna say like we could all do with that Robin suit in our lives.
Absolutely.
Because yeah, he went from looking like a child to looking like a clone of Bruce.
Yeah. So Bruce and Dick go say hi to Commissioner Gordon.
Yes.
And I don't know, from this conversation, does Gordon know that Bruce and...
I couldn't tell. Honestly, I was going to ask you that because like it seems like he...
I know that it's not... I think it's never explicitly stated as far as where. Because, I mean, it's not as... It's not that he definitely doesn't know, but it's not that he definitely does.
Yeah.
But that's...
I mean, he's... I've always assumed that he must suspect, because otherwise he's a terrible policeman.
I suppose it's one of those... Well, we could figure out who he is.
Yeah.
But then we would have to probably prosecute him.
Yeah. But then we won't because he's rich and white and mostly rich.
It's America.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to cast any aspersions on that. But yeah, I mean, like, you know.
Yeah.
Generally rich tends to get away with everything.
Gordon's talking to Dick about Barbara, who this is intercut with Batgirl kicking some people's teeth in.
Yeah, I don't know if I like her voice, but yeah, but it's a cool fight. But it's a little bit creepy, his chat to Dick, going like, oh, yeah. Here you're after Barbara. And I'm like, hello? I'd rather you were discussing whether he's Batman and like Robin than if he's interested in your daughter and what good team they make.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I mean, not totally gross, but just a little bit like, okay.
So we then get to basically, Dick's asking Bruce for advice on women, and Bruce gets kind of cornered.
Yeah, Bruce goes flirt mode, gets flirted with.
Indeed. Whilst all this is happening, a gentleman with the weirdest eyes runs in and confronts a stockbroker. Which is... You kind of sit and think, okay, this is what I really need in a kid's cartoon. A doctor with weird eyes going, I've lost all my money. What's going on?
Yeah. Yeah, he's very adamant. It's quite the interruption of the fancy party.
We then get Barbara arriving at the party. Commissioner Gordon's continuing to be a bit creepy.
Yep.
And then Dick and Barbara go for a dance.
They do. I do like seeing them together, though. Despite his differing body shape.
Yes, so It's actually a different actress that voices Barbara Gordon in this particular film. It's not actually, unlike a lot of the other voices in this film, it's actually a different actress who voices, it's an actress by the name of Mary Kay Bergman,
mm-hmm.
who voices Barbara in this particular film.
I mean, I like her voice. It just seemed a little bit... I tell you what I didn't like about it. It seemed a little bit girly, flirty. I don't know if that bit ditzy girly. Like, I don't know. In my head, Barbara's... I mean, like, I'm a librarian. I obviously have a great kinship for Barbara. And I still remember her from the TV show. And I just like her kind of like a bit more of a no-nonsense. A bit like Lois Lane Light.
So, Mary Kay Bergman, she also... another iconic voice that she did is she voiced Daphne in a lot of the 90s Scooby-Doo material.
Right. That makes sense.
So that's kind of the other main role. Unfortunately, she's no longer with us. She passed away in November of 1999.
That's a shame.
Yeah. I mean, it's... As opposed to Melissa Gilbert, who voices her in the original Batman the Animated Series, and I think it was Tara Strong.
Right, yeah, yeah, I've heard of Tara Strong.
Well, Tara Strong, who's voiced various characters in the DC Animated Universe.
Yeah.
Is a name we're going to have coming up quite a lot. I think it's quite strange, as having this actress, very different actress voice her, for this one occasion.
Yeah.
As a particular fact that most of the other cast is kept over from the...
Mm-hmm. Maybe they just weren't available.
Yeah. So, anyway, getting on with the actual film. Just as Barbara loves, Gregory leaves. And Gregory goes from absolutely boiling heat into snow.
Yes.
And he crashes his car and is greeted by Victor Freeze.
Yes, and we finally get him in, get them all together.
Bruce decides to ditch the party without taking Barbara, leaving all his potential girlfriends with blue...
Yes.
What's the equivalent of blue balls?
I don't know. I don't know, but they definitely had it.
Yeah. And when Bruce is away, Dick and Barbara will play. And Dick actually asks Barbara out. And
yeah, says, that was quite sweet. I forgave a lot after that because that was cute.
Yes. So Alfred and Bruce are driving home into a giant puddle.
Mm-hmm.
And they find the crashed car of Gregory.
Yes.
So, speaking of Gregory, we then go to an undisclosed, very cold room.
Yeah.
Gregory, who appears to be a doctor, informs Mr. Freeze that Nora has maybe a couple of weeks to live. And she needs a transplant, and there's no way to get her back cryogenically frozen.
Yeah. They don't have... Yeah. So what's wrong with her is kicking in again.
So, Nora has a rare blood type, and there are 18 options, apparently, in the whole of Gotham. But for whatever reason that's never made clear, it has to be Barbara Gordon.
Yeah, that is the weird thing, right?
Because, I mean, it's not even like they look at it and go... Because the dude like lip service of, oh, they need to be a similar size and gender. And, like, you didn't even look at anyone else.
Yeah. They go straight Barbara Gordon, yeah.
No, ask me the Commissioner's daughter. Speaking of the Commissioner's daughter, she is... Well, they end up calling Barbara Gordon's apartment. She's not there. So they find out a roommate lets them know that she is at a jazz club.
Yes. Because that's pretty cool.
Mr. Freeze then visits with his hench polar bears.
Because as you would, you'd bring them with you.
Oh.
Because they don't need any specialist care.
Absolutely not.
Bless them. But I'm all for good pet ownership and I wouldn't want to leave my pet behind either.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Even if my pet is currently trying to pull posters off my wall.
Mr. Freeze shows up with his... I keep on noticing this. It's not quite clear if his eyebrows are actually attached to his head or not.
Yeah.
Right. But sometimes they're just kind of hanging in the air.
Yeah, he's an interesting character design.
Mr. Freeze is asking for Barbara Gordon. And when Barbara Gordon doesn't immediately show herself, he sticks a polar bear on a random hostage.
Because as you would. I mean, if you've got the polar bears anyway, you may as well.
What then happens is the Barbara does give herself up. At which point, Dick Grayson decides, Who needs to disguise the fact that Robin and tries to fight Freeze?
Yeah. Bless him. Which would be
better. He gives a good fight until he gets punched in the face by a polar bear.
Yeah.
But he does get punched in the face by a polar bear.
Yeah, but you know, he tries. He tries.
And then Mr. Freeze decides to drop a chandelier on him.
Which is very effective.
You know what would have been more effective?
Go on.
Shooting him with the ice gun.
Yes. For sure.
But that would be inconvenient for plot reasons.
Yes, and we don't want to get in the way of the plot.
Yes. So Robin chases after Mr. Freeze, who puts Barbara in a truck with two polar bears, because polar bears have never had a history of eating human beings.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, totally safe. These are very well-trained polar bears.
Yeah.
Very well-trained.
Robin trades a bike for a Corvette.
Well, as you would.
I mean, he basically goes, can I have this bike? You can have my Corvette, throws the Corvette keys at him.
Yeah.
And then runs out and then chases after him. But so we have a chase.
A nice chase scene, yeah.
Between Mr. Freeze, a police car, and Robin. Mm. Freeze starts a pile up, which means that the police kind of, in fairly terrible CGI, all get crashed and flip about.
Uh-huh.
And then Robin basically drives through like a toll booth.
I think it is. It's one of those coal bunkers, isn't it?
Yeah. And Robin jumps over it with his bike to continue the pursuit.
Because he's an acrobat.
Acrobat. So apparently his bikes can do acrobatics too.
Oh, that's how it works.
And then Mr. Freeze figures, oh wait, I have an ice gun. And he fires it at the road, causing Robin to crash.
Shocking. But that's why we had to use it now, because it's much more cool on the road.
Yep. And Robin gets thrown into a tree whilst the bike he was on explodes.
Mm-hmm.
So we then cut up to Barbara Gordon waking up with the weird doctor with... Basically, his eyes are just blue with little... It's almost like
yeah.
He has no...
They're not good eyes.
No. And as you would when you've just woken up in a strange room, having been kidnapped, Barbara does not accept it when he goes, here are some pills.
Yeah, yeah, because you'd have to be an idiot to just accept it.
And then Barbara fights off the doctor, only for Mr. Freeze to intervene.
Mm-hmm.
We then cut to Gordon, who is on the warpath.
Unexpectedly.
The van was stolen and dumped, with no explanation as to how they got Barbara, well, where she is now.
I reckon it was the polar bears what did it.
Yes.
They seem like the type.
Indeed. So Gordon then checks up on Dick Grayson, with Bruce's there.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce then manages to check the donor files. And works out that, oh, Barbara has a rare blood type. And 17 more people show up, including Nora Freeze.
Yay.
Hmm. We then cut to Barbara, who's bouncing on the bed.
Yeah, because, you know, why not?
I mean, it does work.
It does, and she does what she's doing. She's not a fool.
So she basically uses the mattress to get into the ceiling so that she's able to crawl into a ceiling vent just as Freeze and the doctor enter the room. So we then get another chase scene.
Yeah, it's pretty good value. It's a fair number of chases for what is effectively not really a very chasey plot.
Yes. So you've got the Doctor chasing Barbara around in the vents, and then Mr. Freeze closing off vents with the freeze ray.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because it's actually... Mr. Freeze is actually getting really angry at this point.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, to this point, in most portrayals of the animated version of this character, he's been portrayed as very emotionless.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right, right.
So it's interesting to have him be...
Yeah, he seems like super either chilled or very heightened emotions there.
I mean, to be fair, he has been told his wife has 2 weeks to live.
Yeah, but yeah, I guess that would trigger the emotions in anyone.
Yes. Barbara then accidentally opens the door to the polar bears.
I did think she'd know a little bit better than that. Maybe not.
And then she does manage to get onto a lift.
Yeah.
Where she finds out that she is on an oil rig.
Yeah. Do, do, do. There's no escaping here.
Nope. So we then go to... We then cut to Goth Corp.
Yeah.
Where Bruce Wayne and Dick Grayson are greeted very friendlily by a scientist.
Yes.
Who Bruce approaches and goes, well, who would be the best person to talk to about cryogenics?
Yeah, I need to know.
At this point, it appears that Bruce has a didactic memory.
Yes. He's very good.
With literal photo effects.
Yeah, that was a bit photo cheesy.
Photo voices. And he figures out that it was Dr. Bellison was Gregory, the guy that Freeze has been working with.
Yeah, yeah. That's who's advising him on what he should do.
So we then have Barbara and Mr. Freeze argue about something. I don't have any details about what.
Mm-hmm.
Batman and Robin then go to Dr. Bellison's and listen to a message from his broker. That just happens to be on the tape messenger.
Yeah, which is amazing.
So we then cut back to Barbara, who's getting fed by the kid, the Inuit kid, who's obviously travelled down with Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, he's now complicit in the kidnapping.
So Barbara tries to get the kid to help her.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, Mr. Freeze helps me.
Yeah, yeah.
He takes care of me.
And he has polar bears.
Absolutely. Who wouldn't want to work with a guy with polar bears?
I would.
We then have Batman going to his favourite hobby. He did this last time. He's doing it this time. He does like confronting people whilst they're in bed.
God. Yeah. I also said, almost say the less to be said about that, the better. But yeah, Bruce is an oddball. He's a messed up guy.
He's dragging kids along with him as well.
Always. He's a weirdo.
Yep. So, basically, at this point, they find out that what happened with Bellison is he got caught out. He was effectively trying to go with some insider trading on a drug, and then it turned out the drug had quite nasty side effects.
Yes.
And then, because we need the plot to keep going, Bellison happens to call back exactly at the same time that Batman's there.
Yes, it's this, you know, well, you know, there's always coincidences in these things, but that is pretty cool.
And Batman basically records the message and takes it to the Bat computer.
Because it's not just any computer.
Yes, it can apparently communicate.
Yes. It's good. It's a good computer. It's a good setup. He should. He's a millionaire. Billionaire? I don't know.
Billionaire?
Is he?
Billionaire. So last decade.
Yeah, but he's a bit last decade.
So, they use the Bat computer to figure out that there's the sounds of a horn going off in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And some boys.
And he knows the sound of boys.
Yes, of course he does. So Batman uses this to figure out that, oh, Freeze must be on the abandoned oil rig.
Look, he's a detective.
Yep.
He has to do detecting.
So as Barbara tries to fight off Freeze and the Doctor, as they try and drug her.
Yeah, it's not a good time for Barbara.
Yes. So whilst that's happening, Batman fires up the Batplane. And for some reason, he's able to tell that the supplies that have been stolen for an operation are the same as the ones used for an organ transplant.
Mm-hmm.
Which...
Yeah. They're not just taking a little thing. They just want a little, don't just want a little blood. They're going full organ.
Yes, because at first they're saying, oh, it's just a blood transfusion. And then it's like, no, we need to gas you. It's like...
Yeah.
They never actually say what organ.
True. I did wonder what organ they were going to take. But hey, who knows? Let's assume kidney. Well, what would she need that would... I don't know, whatever. An organ.
I'm sure there's one of, so probably something like... Well,
liver.
I'd say probably the only thing that you would definitely have to get, you would definitely kill, is the heart.
Yeah, it is. It'd be hard. Heart or brain. Else,
you can get away with one lung. You can get away with... Well, you don't even... If it's a liver transplant, you don't transplant the whole liver.
Yeah.
So obviously the heart,
kidneys would be fine. Yeah, probably his heart.
Yeah. So, Barbara realises what's happening, and at the same time, the kid realises what's happening.
Yeah.
And the kid tries to interfere, destroys something.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think it's the... Oh, it's the tank of gas. That's what it destroys. At the same time, Barbara kicks Mr. Freeze into Nora's equipment, which damages it very severely.
Yeah.
And the Doctor chases after Barbara with a gun that he just happens to have.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's America. Like, it seems weird to us. I'm just going to go with everyone has a gun.
Yes.
Because otherwise we have to go into this very British thing about why would anyone have a gun?
Don't get me started on that.
I know, me too. Like, we don't understand it, guys. It's like, it doesn't matter what we think about it, we literally don't understand it. And we're inclined to not want to know much about guns.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
So, we then have doctors shooting at Barbara, which pierces the fuel tank.
No one's having good luck here.
So then what happens is Robin jumps out of the Batplane onto the Doctor.
Acrobat.
Which causes the Doctor to shoot at the oil and trigger a fire.
Mm-hmm.
Robin then tries to grab a hose to put the fire out. And the polar bears try to attack Robin.
Mm-hmm.
And then the polar bears start chasing Batman and Robin around. Until they both charge at Batman and Robin and they duck out of the way. And fall safely into the water.
Hooray!
So no animals are harmed. Hooray.
That's what we like.
So Barbara's stuck on top of this structure that's burning. Because everything's blowing up now. Because why not?
Why not? Yeah, I mean, like, yeah.
Mr. Freeze then, whilst Robin and Batman are trying to rescue Barbara, Mr. Freeze attacks.
Yeah, because it's getting serious now.
And then Mr. Freeze gets buried in rubble after Barbara has a rough landing. And He asks for the doctor to help him, only for the doctor to abandon him.
They know what they're, you know, they know what they're after.
Yep. So Barbara, Batman, and Robin save Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, because they're not dicks. Well, one of them's a dick, but, you know.
Not that sort of dick.
Not that sort of dick.
And Mr. Freeze is like, my leg is broken!
He's such a whiner.
I mean, it's not like he's got a robot suit or anything. So, Batman and Barbara go down to rescue Nora and the kid. As Mr. Freeze sits in the middle of the place and Robin gets the Batwing.
Yeah.
The Doctor runs to there's a boat at the bottom of the rig. And as he pulls away, the helipad that the Batwing's on collapses. So Robin's able to fly off it, but the helipad then crushes the Doctor.
Yeah, poor Dr. Way kind of deserves it, to be fair.
Yep. Dr. Weird Eyes.
Yep. If you didn't have such weird eyes, you might not have been able to see it coming.
Yep. So, Batman and Barbara rescue the boy and Nora. With Mr. Freeze is really toiling right now. Because being in a really hot environment isn't exactly good for him.
Yeah.
So Mr. Freeze then says, go rescue the kid and Nora. Don't worry about me. And then the platform collapses just as the Batwing picks everyone else up.
Mm-hmm.
Batman still goes back to get Mr. Freeze.
Because he's a hero. I actually did like that moment. Like, you know, it doesn't happen quite often enough.
I think the difference is you can buy him doing that for Mr. Freeze.
Mm-hmm.
You maybe couldn't buy him doing that for a Joker or a Penguin.
Except he always does.
He always does, but it's
nicer. It felt nicer this one. You're right. I didn't feel conflicted about him doing.
So Freeze's mask is damaged, so he's struggling to breathe at this point.
Yeah.
Batman is able to, at first is trying to rescue Mr. Freeze, and then some falling debris causes Freeze to fall into the water.
Yeah.
Batman is then able to grapple onto the Batwing as the oil rig explodes. And then the last thing we see is two polar bears swimming and a glove-covered hand grabbing hold of one of them. So we then cut to a couple of days later at a research base somewhere that it's snowing. And peeping in at just the right time is Victor Freeze, able to see that Nora has been saved.
Because Batman, Bruce is always going to do his best, and he's got the money and the finances to sort stuff out.
With some killer sitting there going, Bruce, if you were able to do that, if you've been able to do that all this time,
maybe you should have just done it.
Yeah.
And then you've got a baddie out the way, but in a nice way.
Yes, and then Victor Freeze limps off into the distance, an ice cast on his leg, surrounded by two polar bears.
He's happy because his wife's sorted.
Yes, he's crying with happiness.
So what do you reckon? Do you reckon Bruce actually went and got one of the other 17 people compatible, knocked them out and did the organ donation? Or is that... No, I'm kidding. It's a solution. Just make it not be Batgirl.
They don't actually explain what happened, no.
I'm sure it's just through we have better technology and we're billionaires, so we can do things. But I just thought that would have been funny if it just been like, we'll just go and get someone else. Like, as long as it's not Batgirl. Yeah. As long as it's not the one Dick loves.
So that brings them to this particular episode.
Yes.
Next week, we're going to be covering the Batman Beyond movie, which is the first two episodes.
Be the first time I've watched any of Batman Beyond. Very excited.
Yes.
Sounds ominous.
Indeed. So this actually was meant to be... Interestingly, now we will get to Batman Beyond next week, and the next two films we'll be watching are actually going to be Batman Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Now the second one of these is Batman Beyond Return of the Joker.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Now, when Batman Beyond Return of the Joker was being made, it was going to be either that or the other film it could have been, and this ended up not going through, would actually have been a sequel to Batman Mr. Freeze Sub-Zero.
Oh, right. Okay.
Called Batman Arkham.
Ah.
So, Boyd Kirkland, who's the same guy who directed this film, would have directed it. And it was basically Batman and Robin facing a collection of Arkham Asylum escapees. And in addition, Batman would find a new love interest.
Oh, okay.
And then even cast an actress for it.
Huh. That would have been interesting.
Yes. Anyway, so as we said, next week, Batman Beyond.
Awesome.
Just a reminder, if you listen to this podcast, you can send us feedback for any episodes at the DCAU podcast at yahoo.com, or if you tweet in to DCAU podcast.
Yes, let us know what you think.
Absolutely. Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We're at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email into us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.